How are you all this morning? Can you hear me? Perfect. I'm not Lance. My name is Daniel. I'm not the pastor of this church. Lance really wanted to be with you guys this morning, but something really great is happening with him. His firstborn daughter is getting baptized today, and Lance and Suzanne wanted to be there for that. It's kind of a praise report for the church. And so, he said I was allowed to tell you that he misses you, and he asked me to be up here to share a very short message of what Christmas means. So I'll only take like an hour and a half. For those of you who have children, I'm kidding. I'll be really brief. I'm super happy to be here. I haven't been here for a couple of weeks. I've been away for my job, sent me to Querétaro. But I love this church. And when Lance asked me to be here for Christmas, I was just amazed because I would have loved being here, but I wouldn't have had the excuse to come. So I started thinking about what Christmas means to me. You know, we go around telling people, oh, Merry Christmas, and blah, blah, blah. And I started wondering, I have all these nephews and nieces, and I started wondering if they asked me what Christmas was, what would I say to them? And I would probably give them a short answer like, oh, we celebrate the birth of Jesus. And then I thought to myself, well, that's kind of just the birth of Jesus. So I thought to myself, maybe I would say, we celebrate the birth of Jesus because Jesus came to earth to save everyone. And then I was like, well, and so I basically said, you know what, every time anybody asks me now, I'm going to be like, well, Jesus came and he died on a cross and he rose again, and I'm just going to give them the whole spiel so they run away from me. But no, honestly, I really started to think about what Christmas meant to me in this year. In this particular year, a lot of things have happened in my life. And I started reflecting, and I wanted to share that with you for a very brief moment, if you will, because I would really hope to encourage us all to think of Christmas that way. So turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 2. And I'm there, so you should be too. It's up there for those of you who don't have it. And it's Luke chapter 2, verse 6. And here we go. And it says, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel came of the Lord, appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth. Peace be to those on whom his favor rests. Will you pray with me? Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this service, for the choir, for the praise band, for all the people involved in making today possible. And I just pray, Lord, that you fill me with your word and that you fill us with a grateful heart, Lord, that you be with us this morning and that you give us a heart to praise you and to remember what it is that we celebrate on this day. Amen. So I started thinking about what kind of adjectives and descriptions we give to God on Christmas. You know, there's, oh, baby, Savior, Messiah, and then the Bible is full of names like Light of the World, Lion of Judah, all these names that are given to Jesus. And I wanted to stick with this year, I really wanted to stick with Savior, because I don't know about you guys, I had a year, I had a great year. It was really full of amazing stuff. It was full of hardships, of course. But more than ever, I realized how much I needed a Savior this year. I've had a lot of stuff at work, at home, that's been trying. And it's really funny because sometimes I forget that I have a Savior. And I say, oh, I'm just going to fix this on my own because I'm so smart and I'm so spiritual. And I just, you know, smack myself in the face on the floor and then think, oh, no, I should have called on my Savior. So I started thinking of that attitude and what it means to understand Christmas and what it means to really appropriate, you know, Christmas into our lives. So I want to tell you about someone. I want to tell you about the Apostle Paul. And if you don't know about the Apostle Paul, I want to give a little story, which leads me to why I think we should have this attitude on Christmas. Now, the Apostle Paul, if you don't know much about him, his name was Saul of Tarsus, actually, and he was, like, for the Hebrews and the Jewish people, like this bad dude, you know what I mean? He was super, you know, religious, super strict, well-versed, well-studied. He was of the Pharisees, right? So the Pharisees were of the Jewish people, of the Hebrews, the most religious and most kind of uptight people in that religion. And Paul was one of them. And Paul took great pride, well, Saul at the time, Saul took great pride in saying, you know, I am, you know, a Pharisee and of the best kind. And he studied under this great man, Gamaliel, and all these things, and he had all these accolades to his name, right? So Jesus is born, he comes to earth, he has his ministry on earth, you know, a lot of people start following him, and Paul is just kind of not there in the story yet, but when he comes along, Jesus has already died, he rose from the dead, he ascended onto heaven, and then a lot of people started preaching the gospel, the good news of a Jesus, a Messiah of Jesus Christ, and the Apostle Paul started chasing those people and killing them, a lot of them, and he took great pride because to him, it was this thing of, how are people going to follow this Jesus person who, you know, would ride in on a donkey, who probably smelled like dirt? Paul could not believe that, you know, the Messiah of the people of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob would come the way Jesus did. So Paul was chasing Christians and killing them, a lot of them, so this, you know, this gospel would stop spreading, right? So one day on his day to Damascus, he is on his way, and he is blinded by a great, great light. You know, he falls off his horse, and this great light says, Saul, why are you chasing me? And it was God. And Paul is just kind of like, okay, and God says, stop chasing me, it's me. And so, to make the long story short, he goes blind for 3 days, then this man comes named Ananias and gives him his sight back. And this man I just told you about, who killed a lot of Christians and took great pride in killing Christians, or Jesus' followers, all of a sudden opens his eyes, and he becomes like an instant Jesus freak. Like, from that moment on, he's like, I want to talk about Jesus all day long. You know, I'm going to start spreading the gospel. This guy who used to kill Christians. And so even the Christians that were around him when his eyes were opened were kind of like, whoa, this dude is lying to kill us. You know, they didn't even trust him. And so the moment his sight is given back to Paul, he realizes everything that Jesus meant, what his death on the cross meant, what his resurrection meant, and it's like an instant change, and it's like, whoa, 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 now I want to dedicate my entire life, not to killing his followers, but to making more followers of him. And so, kind of, God kind of brought the Apostle Paul to my mind lately, and I thought, I really like his attitude. I really like this guy who all of a sudden encounters Jesus and, like, polar opposite, like, now I love Jesus and I'm a Jesus freak, right? So I was thinking about him, and I want you to turn into your Bibles, if you have them, in Philippians 3. See, and what happens is Paul had all these accolades and all these things and all these treasures on earth, you know? And I started to think about myself. This whole year, a lot of things have happened. The Lord has blessed me tremendously, especially in where I work. He surrounded me with the most amazing people. I have a small business, and it's been able to grow. And I was thinking of all these things that happened to me this year of which I could boast and of which I could, you know, say, oh, I am so the great Daniel, so spiritual. And I started reading this about Paul, right? And so if you go with me, is it up there already? Yes, chapter 3, verse 4. Paul says right now, this is after he has been converted. He's Paul now, the Apostle Paul. He's not Saul of Tarsus anymore. He's not killing Christians anymore. He's trying to make more Christians. And he says this, though I myself have reason for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regards to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness, based on the law, faultless. So basically, like now in English terms, that would basically mean I have a lot of money, I have a nice house, kind of something like this, right? Like, I'm a big deal. And he says, listen to what he says next. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. So I read this and I was like, wow, that is probably what I should be thinking about during Christmas. Why am I sharing this with you? Because Christmas is a time when we reflect on the whole year and you start thinking about all that happened this year. And yes, sometimes it's a time to be thankful, but I think most of all, if you're in here, if this is the first time, this is what, you know, us at Union Church think. We believe that Jesus came to earth to rescue us because we needed rescuing, right? And I think that Christmas is a really great time to go back to that message in and of ourselves and say, I remember the first time I encountered Jesus. This is what happened to me. Everything I used to value, everything, it was all garbage because I understood that way Paul understood what had been done on that cross. So in Christmas, we always talk, you know, Jesus was born and Jesus came and the manger and all these things. But sometimes we forget the whole message of why Jesus came and why that's so important to me. So I want to revisit that with you. Jesus didn't have to come down to earth and save us. Let me say that again. He didn't have to do it. Why? Because his dad kind of owns the world and made the whole thing. Jesus loved us that way. This is a really funny example. I work in a restaurant, and I was with my nephew Nathan the other day. He's this little boy, and I don't have kids yet. You can talk to my wife about that. I'm trying. And I don't have that gene, right, where it's like I see all my siblings. They all have kids, and it's like the kid will throw up, and they go and catch it, or the kid will like sneeze, and they'll be like, ah! And so I was with my nephew, and I was feeding him a brownie, and he, for some reason, didn't like it. And my sister was all the way over there, and I was holding him, and he started spitting it all out, right? And I just screamed at her. I was like, ew, what do I do? And she was like, well, catch it. I was like, no, that's not my kid. I'm not going to catch his throw-up. Sorry. Like, no, I don't have to. I have no reason to do that, right? And I, for the first time, I understood, and I told my wife, I was like, that's not my kid. When it's my kid, I'll catch his throw-up. But it's not, I mean, I love him, but he can catch his own throw-up. And I started thinking of Jesus, right? He knew what he was going to come to earth to do. He knew that he was going to come and be born in a manger and that he was going to humble himself his entire life for us. He had the power to do anything he wanted, but he literally had to sit through a crucifixion by men whom he had dominion over. And that is the epitome of humility. If you think of the word humility, it's Jesus. He humbled himself. And so I was thinking of this example, and I was thinking of God and how he knew he was going to get spat on. He knew he was going to get, you know, hurt, insulted. People, when he was on the cross, were going to say, oh, if you're Jesus, if you're the King of Kings, why don't you bring yourself down? He knew that. And he did not care because of us. He's like that parent who knows that the kid is going to throw up on him or that, you know, he's going to sneeze, and they do not care because they will do anything for their child, for their child's well-being. And I finally understood that, and I said, Jesus is like that. Jesus, that's my Jesus. He loved me so much that he didn't care about all the things they were going to do to him, right? And I started to think that is what Paul finally understood, and that changed everything for someone like Paul. And I would encourage you that it would change everything for you, because the Bible says that we all sinned and that we all deserve the penalty for sin. And God loved us so much that he had to send someone, his son, his perfect son, Jesus, to save us. And you're like, well, maybe I don't need saving. Well, the Bible says we all do, right? But I think if you would really look inside yourself, I know that I need saving. I'm not here to tell you, oh, you bunch of sinners. No, 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 I'll talk about myself. I suck. Like, I need a savior on a daily basis. I forget this. And I started thinking, you know, Christmas is a time to give presents and blah, blah, blah. But I really want to encourage you this Christmas to remember that moment you understood Christ's death and what it was for and why he came and how badly you needed it. I return to this. He didn't have to come. He did it out of love. He loves us that way, right? And what's amazing is his life, sometimes we forget how it was. You know, you see the manger, and I mean, I wasn't there, but I can probably assure you that the manger, the actual manger where Jesus was born, did not look or smell like the ones at Fantasias Miguel, you know? It probably smelled awful. It probably smelled really bad. It was dirty. And can you imagine the savior of the universe, the king, sending his son, you know, and he sent him to a manger. It's as if Carlos Slim, the richest man in Mexico, walked in here and his son was like riding a donkey. You'd be like, what? Well, because Jesus came to humble himself. He humbled himself for us. That is how our amazing Jesus loved us. He could have checked into the Ritz-Carlton, you know, Bethlehem, even though it didn't exist, but he went to a manger. And that was his entire life. And what he did on earth was he would go to people that other people rejected. Jesus was a healer. He was a lover. He was, if you have ever heard of a different Jesus, I encourage you to go to the Bible and find out. He was amazing. He healed people that nobody else wanted to touch. He loved people that everybody else had rejected. He saved people who were the outcasts, right? And it's funny because I was hearing something about Jesus yesterday, and it said, Jesus and God are the only people who love us, knowing us entirely, right? The only people that know us entirely are ourselves, and there's a lot of things we don't share with other people. There's a lot of things I don't share about myself with my wife because I think she'd hate me, right? You know what I'm saying? It's not like I hide things from my wife. But God is the only person that knows us entirely and happens to love us the way nobody else can love us. Isn't that amazing? I can't love someone that way. I don't know how. Usually, like, people will do things to me and I'm like, I just loved you a little bit less because you just did that. God's not like that, right? And Jesus came to earth, humbled himself, even though he did not have to, for us, for all of us, every single one. I think 2 weeks ago or 1 week ago, Lance preached a sermon on, could Hitler be in heaven? Jesus loves all of us, every single one. We're all his children, right? And he would love it if we all came home to him. But the thing is, some of us haven't understood that of which Paul understood, which was this death, this resurrection, what it meant, his humbling. It says in Philippians in chapter 2, where you were, it says, this is about Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in a human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Do you understand? He didn't have to do any of those things. Those things, he is above all those things. Jesus, he conquered death because death has no hold on him. Rather, he became obedient to death because of us. Because he was thinking of me. He was thinking of me, Daniel, and he was thinking of all of you, right? So Christmas is a time to be thankful and to be with family. Yes, it is all those things. And it's a wonderful time, and Jesus loves presents. I'm not saying that. But when Paul says, everything I used to value, I now take as garbage. See, now I would encourage you to go up to people and say, your presents are garbage because I have Jesus. No, don't do that. Jesus loves presents. What I'm saying is, value everything, but remember what gives you value. It's Jesus. What gives us all value. Everything at the end of the day, I like I said, I've done amazing things this year by the grace of God, not because I'm cool. But I realized again when I was preparing for this, I can't take any of that to heaven. I can't take all my things, my car, my restaurant, nothing. I can't take anything. I can only take what I have done for his kingdom. And so I want to live this Christmas and all the Christmases to come knowing that what's valuable, what is most valuable to me on earth is Jesus' death and his resurrection. Because it is the only thing that justified me and that paid for what I deserved because of my sin. Once you understand that message, we are people like Paul, and in an instant, our eyes are opened, and it's like, duh, nothing else matters. Christ, it's all about him. So I encourage you, when we worship now, I'm running out of time, when we worship with a choir, and when you go to your Christmas parties, and when you do all these things Christmas-centered, I'm not telling you to go up to people and give them this whole spiel, but remember that what is most important, what gives us value, if you are someone of this church, or if you are a Jesus lover, if you're my brother and sister of Christ, what gives us the most value, it is that we have been justified by Jesus' blood, because Jesus decided to humble himself, to love us in the way that parents love their children who throw up on them. He loved us so much to go to that cross and be obedient to it so that we would not have to pay for all those things. And that is what my message of Christmas is. Thank you so much for listening. And let me pray for all of you and for the worship that is to come. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this time that you give us. Thank you that you allow us to come and worship you. And I just thank you so much, Lord, for Jesus, for his sacrifice, for what he did for us, and for the love that you have for us that we don't know how to give, we don't know how to reciprocate, Lord. You have overabundantly loved us, knowing us from the inside out, and I just pray that today you remind us to be thankful for that and to celebrate Christmas as a worship to that sacrifice and to Jesus' blood, and because you loved us so much, you sent him to this earth. So I pray that you help us to remember that as a Christmas message. And I pray that you bless the rest of the sermon and your worship and the choir. And I thank you for everybody that's involved here, Lord. And I pray that you bless this church and you keep bringing new people, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.